previously on Podcast Without Pretense. Guys, I know it. Next episode, sometime in the middle, there will be a visitor at my house and I will have to leave the seat and you'll just have to keep going. But thank goodness we have both Eric and Iaz, right?
I mean, there's no way he can make it from Omaha back to New York City in an hour. It's just not going to happen.
As it turns out, Eric was right. Hi, I'm Jonathan Strickland.
I'm Eric Sandine.
And Iaz is not here today. This is just how it's going to go until we hit episode 150 and we have to talk about Kirk Cameron.
I think he's really pushing. Like, I think that was the point of his email earlier, was like, wait, you guys have to do this episode because we got to get to 150 fast.
So. Yeah, I guess that was it. Yeah, because Iaz seemed very determined that Eric and I, sticking our necks out, would have to continue on the show, whereas he, free from responsibility, would go off on his merry way to do fuck all. Who knows what Iaz is doing right now?
Whatever he's doing, it doesn't really matter.
So, Eric, I very nearly didn't make it back in time for this episode. Because
you were on
until
Tech News Today?
Yeah. Tech News Today. I was until 8:15 my time, I was in my office at Ponce City Market. I actually took an Uber to get back here in time so that we could do this show. So I spent money to get from work to home because I sure as hell wasn't gonna log in from work and do this show.
I've definitely Ubered for this show as well. Iaz might be the only one who hasn't so far.
but to be fair, Iaz was probably spending some money related to this show. So all three of us have lost money on the best podcast of 2014.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely costing more money than it's worth. But, you know.
Podcast Without Pretense. Our loss is your gain.
Or
that's
not.
A terrible slogan.
Yeah. It's
so I referenced last week, if you listened to that previously on bit, that I would be mysteriously interrupted in the course of this very episode that we are recording right now. And in fact, right now it looks like that's going to happen within about 15 to 20 minutes.
All right. What do you, it's not Google Fiber, is it? Because that's
no, like. No. If it were Google Fiber would be much earlier in the day and I would be dancing.
That's late. That's true. Yeah.
Possibly nude. So you should be thankful it's not Google Fiber. No, it's food. Food is on the way. Because I just got home. My wife had not eaten yet. She's like, let's order something and have it delivered. So I said, well, I'm going to be podcasting, which means the food's going to get here while I'm actually recording. So Eric, just be prepared to do some form of entertainment.
Sure. I have a question.
Because the front door to my house is just over there. Like outside of this room and then just over there. So it's much easier for me to get there than my wife who's upstairs.
So about ordering food. Did you call a restaurant or did you use an app?
Call? What am
That's
I?
What I'm wondering.
A fucking caveman? What? Yeah. I sit there and have to fucking interact with another goddamn human being? You better bet your ass I didn't do such a fucking backwards thinking thing. I'm a forward thinking kind of asshole. No, I went online to a service called Zifty, which is here in Atlanta. It's a lot like a lot of other delivery services in major urban areas where they have a selection of restaurants that they work with that depending upon where you log in, you will have access to a certain number of those, geographically based. I picked one of those, a Mexican restaurant of some renown, and they will deliver the food to me.
Great. Yeah. I've been like oddly hating on like all delivery services recently. Because like we use Postmates a lot. We use Postmates a lot at work from time to time, like just to get food. And it like Postmates is one of those things that the first couple times you use it, you're like, it's amazing because I got food and those people don't deliver, and now the food is at my house. That's awesome. Until you get to the point where recently I realized that one of the pizza places I've been ordering from actually also delivered and didn't charge a delivery fee. So I'm like ordering on Postmates, and I'm like, great, all right.
So you're here. Overpaying. You're overpaying for that food.
Exactly. And well, Postmates gets ridiculous for things like, you know, you want some soup or a salad or something, and then you realize that your soup cost you $20, you know.
No, that's true. So here's the problem with Zifty. And it's the problem with all of delivery services, and it makes sense. Like, from their perspective, you totally get why it works this way.
Right.
But there's a minimum order that you have to meet. And for Zifty, it's right around $15. Now, $15, that's fine if you're ordering for two people. You can easily hit $15 with two entrees from most places.
Right.
It's when you're ordering for yourself, when you're a lazy asshole like I am, who doesn't drive. Yeah, you're like, well, I guess I can have queso and bean dip with that taco, you know? Yeah. Which has happened. Yeah. Or it could be, well, one of my favorite burger joints in Atlanta, they deliver through, or they work with Zifty. Otherwise, it's a pain in the ass to get out there because it's in a part of Atlanta with terrible traffic. They've got a horrible little parking lot. But Zifty, you bypass all that. Problem is, if I'm working at home by myself, one burger is not enough to trigger that amount. So then I'm like, well, I could pig out and eat two burgers. And that has happened on more than one occasion, and I am not proud of this, but I am not a proud man.
The
driver is en route, which means that any minute now.
I think it's really odd living, you know, because I'm in Oakland now, so we can get pretty much every possible thing delivered to us at any hour, which is really weird because you find yourself reasoning with yourself about everything. So like Instacart, which is groceries, right? You're like, well, I'm going to pay a slight premium for the delivery, but it saves me the time of going to the store and the driving. And like right now our car needs to be repaired and we're kind of deciding whether or not we need a car because we haven't used it in 2 months. We're like – like you sit there and reason with yourself and it gets to the point where you're like, yeah, I guess paying $20 to get grocery delivered isn't that crazy. But then you look back and you're like, it kind of is that crazy.
It depends. It depends on how much you value your time, right?
Right.
Like exactly. if you sit there and you think like, is the time that I would have spent to go do the shopping, you know, and come back and all that, is it worth the amount of money that I'm paying in the delivery fee? And as long as the answer to that is yes, then it still makes sense. So, I don't have any objection to using these services because I figure my time is really fucking valuable. I'm Jonathan fucking Strickland.
Yeah. I mean, for you, it makes sense. When you're on 30 podcasts a day, you can't grocery shop. It's just not going
to
happen.
No, I mean, ultimately, it really comes down to how lazy are you? That's what it really comes down to.
It's true. Yeah.
I am extremely lazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I there are restaurants.
It's how much money are you willing to spend to overcome laziness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you have more money than you have willingness to put yourself at some sort of inconvenience, that's where the problem starts. Also, you start to ask yourself, like, how important is it that my food be, I don't know, hot?
Yeah, it's also true.
So you're like, maybe I'll just order a lot of, like, salads and sandwiches.
Yeah.
So, Eric, I wanted to ask you. You know, you watched a couple of episodes of Fuller House, right? And I has watched, or at least had all of them on. I don't know that he could really convincingly argue that he watched them all. They were all on while he was also in the general vicinity. My question comes to a different Netflix original series. Have you watched any of Daredevil Season 2 yet?
No, it popped up for me last night and I added it. I haven't started it yet.
Did you watch Season 1?
Yes, when it first came out, yeah.
And did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it.
I like season two. I have concerns.
You have the, concerns.
I'm not all the way through season two yet. I've got like four more episodes to get through. So my wife and I have watched 9 of the 13 episodes. So we still have four. And my concerns are more on the direction that Marvel is going with their Netflix properties, because I felt Daredevil season one was pretty grim and definitely way more violent than any of the other Marvel stuff that we've seen so far. Right. So then you had Jessica Jones. Did you watch that?
I only watched like the first two episodes of Jessica Jones.
Yeah. See, I really like Jessica Jones, but that got even more grim, because then you're dealing with you're dealing with PTSD stuff from essentially a rape survivor. I mean, that's essentially what Jessica Jones is all about. So it's even more grim, maybe not more graphically violent, but more the violence was even more effective at getting at you emotionally. Mm-hmm. Daredevil season two seems to have looked at Jessica Jones and said, all right, game on, and cranked up that violence and explicit gore up several notches, to the point where, I kid you not, there is a sequence in one of the episodes of Daredevil season two that could have come from one of the Saw movies. Oh, now I can't hear you, Eric. Oh, there you are.
Yeah, that's okay. That sounds a bit too extreme for a...
So that's what I said. That's why I'm concerned.
I don't understand why they would have to go that violent, though. I mean, and it doesn't seem like the market would be there for that. Like, just producing something super violent doesn't seem like that's going to get people to watch.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought too, was that I don't necessarily think they need to make it kid friendly.
Yeah.
But it's going so far in the opposite direction of where the film series is. Like, the film series isn't incredibly kid friendly, but it's not necessarily because of the action, it's because the damn motivations of like the plots, the actual plots of the movies are muddled and confusing. Like, you've seen the first Avengers film, I take it.
Yep.
What was the goal of the villains, the various villains in the Avengers movie, the first Avengers movie? What was the motivation for the villains? You had Loki.
Honestly,
and you had the aliens.
Oh, right.
You can't. You can't tell me. Even knowing the villains, you can't tell me. Like, right. All right, so what was Loki's motivation? Why was Loki the bad guy in Avengers? What was he trying to do?
What was he trying to do? I mean, he was just trying to kill the Avengers? Unclear.
No. Yeah, unclear, right? Okay, well, forget Loki. Forget Loki. The invading alien army. Why were they invading Earth?
Was that ever explained?
See, that's the problem. It's not. It's not explained. Right. And here's the thing. Marvel's approach is to have all of these individual movies be sort of like chapters in a larger story, which means ultimately, further down the line, you will understand more what it was that caused the things to happen in Avengers. And that storyline is a dumb comic book storyline. It has to do with Thanos, the big purple guy, right? Mm-hmm. So Thanos wants to get these gems of power, these gemstones that he will then put into an infinity gauntlet, which will allow him to wield primal power sources, things like time and space, that kind of stuff. And the problem is, most of these stones, for reasons that are never really adequately explained, are on Earth. Out of all the dimensions and universes, they're on Earth. So the actual reason, as far as we can tell, is that Thanos wanted to secure the stones so that he can put them in his gauntlet. And then his ultimate goal is to kill enough living creatures in the universe to get the attention of Death herself. Thanos has an obsessive love for the personification of Death, which is female in Marvel. And so to get her attention, he plans on killing everyone he possibly can. And in order to do that, he needs a weapon of massive power.
Sounds pretty reasonable. I mean,
yeah. But the problem is, they don't explain this, right? They don't explain it at all to the viewer. So if you were to walk out of Avengers, you might have walked out and said, that was a cool movie. I saw some really neat stuff with Captain America and Iron Man.
Right.
And someone said, all right, so who was the bad guy? Oh, Loki was the bad guy. All right, what was Loki trying to do? Right. Well, he was bringing in an invading army. Wait, Loki was trying to conquer Earth? Why did Loki want to conquer Earth? No, Loki wasn't interested in conquering Earth. Loki said as much. All right, so why did Loki bring in the army? And that's what you would get. By the way, the prevailing theory about what Loki's ultimate motivation was to return to Asgard because he had been banished. So you could argue, at the very end of the movie, Loki is taken prisoner and returned by Thor to Asgard. You could argue that Loki actually got what he wanted. And you could even argue convincingly that Loki orchestrated things specifically so he'd be taken back to Asgard. He didn't care how any of the rest of it turned out. He just needed to cause enough trouble for Thor to bring him exactly where Loki wanted to go. And if you're caught up with the Marvel films, you know Loki is currently in charge of Asgard. He's posing as Odin, but it's actually Loki. So you could argue, well, Avengers, the good guys lost because Loki got what he wanted. But again, unless you see all the movies, you can't put that together. And that is the biggest flaw, I think, in Marvel's approach, that when you look at a standalone film, if you can't explain what the motivations of your major characters are without also referring to other movies in the series, you have failed as a storyteller.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say that's roughly true. I mean, yeah. Is it that they're going too deep into their story for any one movie to be taken on its own and have all of the motivations explained?
I think it's that they have this goal to elevate comic book movies beyond the simple one and done storylines and to create a larger, like, I think they're trying to Lord of the Rings it. I think they're trying to tell a huge epic story that has many, many chapters. See, the interesting thing to me is how are they going to have the events of Civil War start to lead up to the next Avengers movie, which is the Infinity War Part 1? Because so far, Thanos has not been able to get hold of those stones. One of them is in Vision, the android that was introduced in the last Avengers movie, Age of Ultron. He has one of the stones. He has the Mind Stone inside of him. One of them, I think, is still in. Maybe that is the one. That is the one that used to be in Loki's spear, I think. But there are other ones too that are still on the loose. And in fact, there was the one that Star-Lord had at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy. So they've got a whole lot of ground to cover, and I assume Infinity War Part 1 will really be Thanos getting hold of those stones, and Part 2 will be how do the heroes band together to stop Thanos from destroying life throughout the universe. But how does Civil War play into that? Because right now Civil War looks like it's playing on a much smaller subplot in that epic story, which is, what is the right way to deal with superheroes, assuming they exist? Is it all right to give them essentially free reign and just trust that they will do things that are in the best interest of the general population? Or is it better to try and regulate them in some way? And that's a story we saw that started off with – it really kicked into gear with Winter Soldier, the last Captain America movie. But we're seeing, Civil War is the top of that. But will that in turn feed into this super epic story? Will it explain motivations? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I think you're right that they're just trying to create this giant story, I think the difference is that it's slightly more nuanced than something like, I mean, sure, the Lord of the Rings didn't hit a lot of the things that are in any of the books, but yeah. With comic books, there's so much character development built into each character that it's really hard to create that universe, especially when you're just doling it out in like 2-hour movie increments. And you have to have other characters in there somewhere who are not going to have their story explained in one movie. So yeah, you really have to make a lot of freaking movies in order for anything to make sense.
Which explains why we're getting like 3 Marvel films a year, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Cause we got Doctor Strange coming up, Black Panther coming up. You got another Ant-Man movie coming up. You've got the Avengers films coming up. Yeah, it's just kind of crazy how many movies there are. Oddly enough, like it's interesting also to think that the last Hulk movie is technically part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because that wasn't really talked about much after the fact. Yeah, that was the one. You know, so it was different Hulk, right? Different Bruce Banner.
Right.
But anyway. Yeah, it's just and don't get me wrong. I like the Marvel films. One of the reasons I brought this up is to contrast that with the DC approach to movies. You know, we've got Batman versus Superman coming out, and early reviews are not positive.
Yeah,
in fact,
it's not looking great.
Early reviews suggest that Podcast Without Pretense would do a good job at trying to watch this movie and break it down. It's like a 37% approval rating last time I looked. It may be higher now, but it was 37 when I saw it last on Rotten Tomatoes. And I had a friend who saw it, and essentially every bad feeling I was getting from the trailers seems to be well-founded.
Right.
Yeah. So here are some potential spoilers for Batman versus Superman. I am alerting everyone who's watching right now, and everyone who might be listening later, that I'm going to talk about some stuff that, from what I hear, happens in Batman versus Superman, but I have not seen the movie. But apparently, and again, last warning, spoilers here on out. You don't care, do you, Eric?
No.
I thought I should ask you. You're kind of forced. And of course, our producers, screw them. They get to hear it. Of course, they could hang up on me in any second.
That's true.
Apparently, Batman has no hesitation killing people in this version, which tells me that they got both Superman and Batman wrong.
Right.
And the biggest problem I have with Superman is that they're constantly undermining his sense of nobility, which in my mind is his defining trait as a character. Right? He was raised by simple... And I use the term not as an insult. He was raised by simple, wholesome people to be a good person. The Kents adopt him and raise him to be a good person. But in the Snyder version of Superman, the Kents are constantly undermining Superman, saying, hey, don't use your powers because people will find out about you. Or, hey, you don't owe the Earth anything, so you can just not, you know, rise to meet these challenges. Which is... literally the opposite thing that the traditional Kent characters would tell Clark Kent. And that drives me nuts. And to have Batman killing people, from what I understand, that also goes against the characterization of Batman, who tries to hold himself to a higher standard, at least in his mind, to the criminals that he pursues.
Yeah.
Right? Otherwise, he's just as bad as they are. And from what I understand, like all the characterization of those two characters is completely off base. I did hear that Wonder Woman turns out to be one of the better parts of the film. And the best thing that my friends were saying about the film is that it made them look forward to a Wonder Woman movie. And
that's good.
Yeah, that's good. And we need a good, strong female superhero movie. Because Marvel has failed us in that regard. That's something Marvel hasn't done. Although you could argue Black Widow is a strong female character, and I did the air quotes there. I think that she still plays into a lot of male fantasy as opposed to a depiction of an actual strong female. I'm hoping Wonder Woman will be a little different. But yeah, everything I'm hearing is confirming all the things I was worried about when the trailers started coming out for Batman versus Superman. And so, yeah, not looking. I don't know if I'll even see it in the theater because I never saw Man of Steel. And even the people who liked Man of Steel on my friends don't really care for Batman versus Superman.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm so upset about it because I want it to be good. I want there to be good movies on both sides. To me, it feels like what Zack Snyder did. I mean, he's talked about this. He took a lot of inspiration from Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. The Dark Knight Returns is set when Bruce Wayne is like 60. And so the story is about how Bruce Wayne, even though he knows he's too old to be Batman, and he knows that it's better for him to not pursue that, and that to continue doing it is essentially a death sentence, that someone is going to be faster than him and he's going to get hurt or killed, or his identity will be revealed and it'll all be over. But he still can't stop himself. He's obsessed. And it ultimately leads up to a confrontation between Batman and Superman. And again, Zack Snyder took this as inspiration for the film Batman versus Superman. The problem is The Dark Knight is set in a time where there are already decades of history between Batman and Superman. That's what gives their confrontation the emotional impact that it has. Without those decades of experience, you don't have that emotional impact because you don't have that sense of betrayal, of finally having to fight the person that you had called an ally. None of that exists in the current DC film universe because the two characters have never met until this movie. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is a huge problem. It's like, hey, let's there's this epic battle between these two characters that you've never met, so care about them.
Yep.
Well, that was fun, Eric. Good monologue on my part.
I mean, you start ranting about comic books. Like, what do you want me to do again?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about comic book movies, not comic books.
That's true.
To be fair. Sometimes watch those.
Sometimes I do. This week, what did I watched The Revenant finally.
Did you like it?
Yes. Yeah.
That seemed like a guarded yes.
I enjoyed it. It was good. It was a little long for, I don't know. There was something about it I didn't like, but I did enjoy watching it.
Do you think Leo earned that Oscar? Or do you think, hey, he wasn't really acting. It really was that fucking cold.
That was actually kind of part of it. Like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, they gave him an Oscar for this? He's done better than this. Like,
there are times where I think the Academy awards someone because they feel that they are that person or director, whatever it may be, person or director. Directors are not people. That they're overdue, and they end up awarding them for the wrong thing because of that. You remember the year when
I think that's what happened.
Go ahead.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
That's what happened. You remember the year when Lord of the Rings: Return of the King won everything? It won something like 10 or 12 different Academy Awards. I argue that Return of the King was the weakest of the Lord of the Rings movies, that it was the most rambling and least focused of the films. And everyone joked about it having too many endings. That part didn't bother me so much because it was following the book and it even left out a couple of endings. But it just felt like the movie itself was a departure from the books, and then in general, the more it departed from the books, the less I liked the movie. And I don't know if that's only because I have such a deep love of the books. I mean, I've got a fucking Lord of the Rings tattoo on one of my arms. So, but I liked Return of the King the least, and yet it got all the awards. And I think it got all the awards, not for the quality of the film, but rather for the achievement of making those three movies. And that it was really a series of awards to recognize the achievement of the overall project, not of Return of the King itself.
Yeah, I mean, and that's probably true. I mean, and yeah, that's definitely why he won the award for The Revenant, because it definitely wasn't his best role or most well acted role, which is kind of sad, because as I'm watching it, that's what's going through my head the entire time, going, really?
Yes,
yeah. Really.
Now, but, Tom Hardy played the bad guy in that, right? The antagonist—not bad guy, but the antagonist.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I heard his performance. See, I still haven't seen The Revenant, but I heard his performance really was really great. Good. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I hear. Yeah. There are two movies that I've been told I definitely need to go see, and I mean, I've already missed so many films that I really wanted to see in the theater. But they've already gone by, like Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
I missed that one. Hail Caesar, which I know a lot of people didn't Hail Caesar, but I'm a theater kid, so I think I would have loved Hail Caesar.
I didn't really see it. That one. Yep. Go ahead.
I was going to say the most recent one I've been told I have to catch, and I still haven't seen it, is The Witch. I've been told mostly because they use period language. So they're talking in these and thous and that kind of stuff. And they're like, Jonathan, you would love this movie. It's incredibly atmospheric. It's really effective. You've got to go see it. And I agree. I have to go see it. I haven't found time to go see it.
2015, 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, released February. Gotcha.
For The Witch.
Yeah. 90%. Huh. I want to see that. That looks interesting.
It's supposed to be a very effective thriller. So, all right, if you look over this shoulder over here. If you look over that shoulder there, you see that little weird metal thing behind me? That's right there where my finger's pointing?
Yes.
So there's a that's the hilt of a sword. That's the hilt of a rapier. And that is the reason why I haven't been seeing very many movies lately, because I have agreed... stage combat. I have agreed to come back and fill in at the Georgia Renaissance Festival for a friend of mine who was playing one of the bad guys for the festival. There's a storyline that unfolds throughout the day. He was playing one of the bad guys, and then he got really badly injured, broke 5 ribs, got a partially collapsed lung, and a concussion.
Oh man!
So he's recovering. And he is not expected to be in fighting shape by the time the festival opens on April 16th. So they needed someone to step in. And I was on a very short list of names of people who, one, have stage combat training, and two, would potentially consider coming back to work the festival because I'm an idiot. So I agreed. And I say idiot because it's a huge time commitment. You're in a costume in Georgia and it starts getting hot and humid. It's a lot of discomfort. Mm-hmm. So I agreed. So now I'm going to be playing a character I've never played before, brand new character, which is the first time I've done that in years at the festival. And I'm going to do stage combat, and it's rapier and dagger stage combat. So it's two weapon combat, which, by the way, first time I've ever done two weapon combat. Now, that's awesome. The good news is,
You're not going to be doing your old the ghost at all?
I'm not doing the ghost, and I'm not doing the admiral. So the admiral is the character. The other thing that irritates me. The admiral is the character I spent years creating, and he's essentially a Disney villain. He's like Disney's Captain Hook. He's, you know, cowardly, but he thinks he's really debonair. He's just a goofball. He's an idiot. That kind of character. The ghost, literally spent the least amount of time on that character, and he's everyone's favorite goddamn character. Mm-hmm. I spent so much time on my other one, and people are like, the Admiral's fun, but the ghost is fantastic.
Sounds about right. I mean, you know,
He's a more likable.
Timon and Pumbaa are everybody's favorite characters from The Lion King in a high percentage.
That's fair.
So.
That's fair. What a wonderful phrase.
Yeah. It was like something made me want to watch The Lion King 3 the other day. I learned that it starts with them watching.
Is it three or two and a half?
I think it's three, or maybe it's two and a half. I don't know. But apparently it starts with Timon and Pumbaa in a theater watching the original Lion King going, that's not really happened. And then the rest of the movie is based on Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Yeah. I think that might be 2.5 or 1.5, one of those. Like, because I remember watching it once. My family had the DVD. My parents had the DVD. And because my parents are huge Disney fans, too. And we watched it once when we were over there. It was really cute. It might be 1.5. General, I frown upon the direct-to-video sequels that Disney does, but I from what I understand, that one was pretty good. So to catch everybody up, because we're rapidly getting to the point where I'm going to end this so I can go and eat.
Right.
Because my food did arrive while my modem died. Fuck you, Comcast. Oh, yeah. Thank you for sponsoring our show. Comcast is not an official sponsor. Just to catch everyone up, Iaz is not here because he has forsaken us. And he does want that episode counter number to continue to click toward 150 so we can talk about Kirk Cameron saving Christmas.
His name is still in the byline somewhere, so he feels like he gets credit for it.
That's the way he likes to do his work, right? Is
right.
My favorite thing I've seen from him recently was where he talked about how he saw a headline pop up.
Oh yeah,
about titles coming to Netflix in April 2016, and he got excited, and then he clicked on it, and then he realized he was the one who wrote the article.
Yeah,
I've actually had happen to me.
Yeah, I haven't had that with articles. I've had it with code before. Writing some function.
You look at code like, what idiot put this together? Yeah. And then you're like, I was that idiot. Yeah, I've had it happen where I've done research for a podcast where I often when I'm researching podcasts, I often pull stuff from howstuffworks.com because I like to link it back to whatever the article was. If we have an article. There have been times where I've been reading an article. I'm like, oh, yeah. Now I remember this. This sounds really familiar. And then I'm like, who wrote this? See, it's me. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I have no memory of writing that article.
Right.
But it's my byline. It's in my writing style. And I remember the facts about the thing, but I don't remember actually the process of researching and writing the article itself.
I saw that he had an article in Wired. Something
That's
recently.
Nice.
Iaz and Caitlin. God, I can't remember her name, but she also writes for CNET, and I've met her. And she might
not
listen. Lynn, I don't remember her last
not
name.
Caitlin and Mark. Because there is a Kate who does tech news and also is a huge wrestling fan, so that would make a lot of sense for the two of them to work together on a project.
It was about it was about comic books.
Maybe this Caitlin Dahl.
Yeah, I don't remember. But yeah, it was interesting. I was like, huh, I didn't see Iaz publish anything about that, but
yeah, it is weird. I mean, he's just gonna learn how to self promote better.
Yeah, he's good at it at this point.
He needs to just follow me.
That's right.
Follow me and watch how I tweet. There are two things I'm excellent at promoting, myself and Torchy's Tacos.
Yeah, there were a lot of tweets about tacos while you're in South by Southwest. And
oh my
after.
God, Eric, the tacos were so good. They were they were like life changing tacos.
All right, yeah.
If you have the opportunity to eat at Torchy's Tacos, do it. If you have the opportunity to have the Roscoe, do it. Although Roscoe is the taco of the month, and March is quickly running out. So you have a limited amount of time to get the Roscoe. The Roscoe, in case you're curious, corn tortilla, fried egg, toasted waffle, strip of fried chicken, then typically you would also get a strip of bacon. I have that left off because I don't eat mammals. But then strip of bacon. And then you ask for the Diablo sauce. Put a little Diablo sauce on. And then syrup. Put a little syrup on. You get spicy, sweet, crunchy, amazing. Torchy's Tacos, sponsor our show. I will pimp you like nobody's business.
That would actually be a great sponsor. If we got free tacos as a sponsor, that would beat the shit out of Comcast.
We would just be eating on mic the entire show.
Yeah, so anyway, the next thing about the movie that I really hated...
Anyway, the characterization was all wrong.
we'll get besttacosof2014.com.
You know what we should do is we should actually talk to Ayaz and see if what we want to do for one episode of Podcast Without Pretense is have all three of us go see Batman versus Superman at some point and then report back on what our impressions were.
Because
that would be – yeah, because we've done that, I think, for one other current film. I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was –
it was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago when we did it. Oh, it was Gravity.
That's right. Yeah, it was Gravity.
It was Gravity, yeah. Which we all liked, except we thought that the ending was a little weird. But we liked especially liked the special effects and stuff.
I mean, I'd go see it if it's bad. That sounds fine. Like, there's a theater here I haven't been to yet that looks nice. Yeah. So, yeah.
I would go see it. I would go see it. Maybe I'll see it. Maybe I'll try and see it Friday night because my wife is going to go on a quick trip with her mom. It's her my wife's birthday. My wife's birthday is coming up, and they're going to go on a short trip. So it's like a day trip type thing. But it means I'm on my own on Friday. So maybe I'll go. Although opening night, probably not the best time to try and watch a movie that you're going to hate.
No. Maybe next week. Well, next week, I don't know. Well, my birthday is on Wednesday, which actually means that we're doing things this weekend for my birthday, and I don't know what those things are yet. So I have no idea if I can see a movie or not.
So we might be recording the next episode on your birthday, which means you may not be here.
That's true. It's a Wednesday. I will be at a bar. That's really all I know at this point.
That doesn't mean that you can't be on the show.
That's true. I could probably call in from my phone at some point.
We've had you on the back of a fucking motorcycle before.
That's true.
So, well, on that note, let's peek into the future and find out if Eric is able to join us on the next episode. So, next time on Podcast Without Pretense, sad, isn't it? Day before his birthday. Who would have thought?